Well, hello, everybody. Finally, I can come to you on Beyond the Matrix in the daytime because I always do this show from Rome. Well, almost always. And it's nighttime. And I always say good evening. So here I am in the most breathtaking place, the Sacred Valley of Peru, as many of you are following me because, you know, I love to share with you all of my journeys and all of the wonder that is my experience. And that will soon be the experience of the people that are journeying with me on this sacred journey, the path of mastery with the master teacher, Malku Arevalo, who is my guest today. Now, before I bring him on, I would like to ask you, please go get your friends. If you have any passion or love for Peru and any curiosity about the sacred shamanic path, you don't want to miss this show. All right. So just before I bring in Malku, I would like to tell you all how grateful I am for all your letters and all your curiosity about what's going on here. I came early so that I could overcome the altitude problem, which I have every time. And I am fit and ready to go. And I know that Malku is going to put me through my paces because there are mountains to climb and sacred places to be found. And at any rate, here we go. I'm going to ask Malku to then at the end of the show, he'll tell you more about how you can reach him, his website, his books, etc. This is truly a master teacher, and it's a great honor to be with him here and to have him on the show. Hello, Malku.
Hello, Patricia. Thank you for inviting me to be today sharing with your students, your friends, and other professors, other teachers about the Andean vision and your experience here in Peru. I am sure that Pachamama will open the doors for you to go through all their dimensions that you know and to share with your people. So I am happy to share this moment with you.
Thank you. I love that the fact that you said that, because the Syrian High Council always tell me we will be there opening the doors and you need to know when you're going to go through. So your words are already a clue into the synchronicity that you and I will share as teachers on this great journey. A whole great spirit to that. So, Malku, let's talk a little bit about what you've got in store for our group. First of all, you are very well known in the States and around the world as well. So I don't think I'm necessarily surprising anyone having you here. But I would love to hear about, let's start out by talking about your experience as guiding people for so many years. What started you on this path of actually guiding people to the wisdom?
Well, most of time when people, they consider it that was the beginning, is because they remember well they were following certain studies or a kind of unique experience came to their lives. That technically saying, I don't remember any of these kind of things, but I will remember that when I was 8 years old, I had already a connection and understanding of different things that my colleagues from school didn't get yet. And before that, if I was not involved in this kind of magic or thinking, it's because I was living there. So technically saying, it was not a start in my life. I was already there since probably I born. But of course, as you grew up, you start considering other aspects of life. And then you learn more, of course, because in this experience, in this planet, you have to consider the experiences of other people and what Pachamama, what the universe can offer to you. And I was very dedicated and passionate for Pachamama since very early in my life. I am a runner, I am a sportive person, and because I am a runner, that offered to me possibilities to be in the mountains, in remote areas, between the mountains to the jungles or to the desert in the Andes in Peru, and experiment unique things. And this probably gave me another vision and understanding how we need to manage life and how we can teach to people. I think I am very devoted to Pachamama. It's my main mother, my master, and the great spirit of Wiracocha is the being from the cosmos that illuminates my path. So I am very devoted to all these kind of forces and existence in the planet and in the universe. And then and I share that with the pilgrims that they came to the Andes. We also facilitate shamanic experiences, initiatory moments. And for sure, with the students, pilgrims, and teachers that are coming with you, we will have very special moments, especially now, that are needed to modify certain structures in the planet. So I am ready for that, and I'm ready to share much more.
We're ready for it, too. Here's a question for you. My personal belief is that shamans are not trained. You are a shaman at birth. I believe I am, and I think you believe you are. Do you agree that this is something that is in your lineage, or do you think that you can actually learn to work as a shamanic teacher and guide?
Well, this is part of my lineage, but my cosmic lineage, not my terrestrial lineage. What happens is that many people, they try to justify the terrestrial lineage as something to validate the experience of somebody. It's very easy, and that was created as a kind of justification for many things, saying, oh, who was the one who teach to you? That was your father, your mother, or that was your grandfather? And if that was your grandfather and you are like that, then that gives validation that you are okay because it was your grandfather. You know, this is a kind of game because it's like justifying any individual because the attitudes, because the experience of the parents or their family members. It's like saying like that, oh, this lady is a secretary. It was her mother a secretary to validate that she is good or not, and things like that. You know, human being is in this planet to explore, to discover many more things. And in my understanding, my experience, I don't need justification. I don't need anyone. I respect my parents, of course. I respect family members, but I am following my path.
Yes,
so it's a cosmic
heritage. When I speak about lineage, I am speaking also about your own stellar path, your own soul essence, that you are born, you come back in to work on these levels, and that it is nothing to do with... I'm not talking about genetics here. I'm talking about your starseed path.
Oh yeah, that's cosmic. Absolutely, that's the main source of things, and we are here in this planet to put in action certain things that the Pachamama and the cosmos offer to us. That goes beyond the blood, as you are saying. That goes beyond the family. But this is very common because you were talking about shamanism, and there is a justification saying, "Oh, this is the shaman because his father or his grandfather was like that." And it's not like that. And if you check the planet, if you see many of the families that the main master is the master, his children or her children, they don't want to know anything about. But there is the common justification. And this is very classic. And it's not the first time that this kind of relation has been in relation to my path. But I prefer to clarify that I follow the path of Pachamama, the path of the universe, and integrating this experience cooperate and to teach to others, which is making us more human and more cosmic in the same time.
No, I love that. Can you explain for anyone who's listening who doesn't really understand the terms of Pachamama and Wiracocha exactly what you're talking about?
Wow, I thought that everybody knows Pachamama. Sorry, if that's the case, it's not the case. So Pachamama is Mother Earth. It's the great being alive of our planet. It's Mother Earth. That some other cultures, they were calling Gaia, Abiyala, and different names. But in the Andes, our ancestors, they call it Pachamama. And Mama is a kind of universal word. And Pacha is related to the Earth and to the cosmos. And Wiracocha is the great spirit. That probably certain people will relate Wiracocha to God, if you want. That will be the easy way for humans to understand Wiracocha. There is an ideology involved. There is, of course, a conception which is related to the native understanding of the Andes. But basically it's that. Pachamama is Mother Earth, and Wiracocha is the great spirit that provides life, energy, and everything in this cosmos. Then this is the terms that we use here in the Andes. And Pachamama is becoming very unique, very important. I know that many people worldwide, they also call Pachamama. Then yes. That's interesting.
Well, there's unquestionably a return, especially in the spirit, the circles of spiritual people rising, of understanding the absolute consciousness of this planet and respecting the indigenous wisdom, even though there are so, like we talked about when we met, every attempt is being made to destroy the wisdom of the ancients, but there is a great return to that. I'm sure you'll agree.
Yes, we have to, and the easy way to understand is the heritage in the physical way that our ancestors, they left. You are coming to Peru, and you are in the Sacred Valley of the Inca now. You will travel to Machu Picchu, to the Sacsayhuaman, Lake Titicaca, and other power places. When you are there, you really feel that those places are alive. Never die. No, it was never stopping the energy. Then these power places are radiating the energy and touching many people, not only the local community, but also the international community. Then you are very important as you come here because you can expand the wisdom of these ancestors that they were very unique. I am sure that people, they will enjoy the other vision that we experimented in the Andes, and that will help to change the understanding of their own lives and also the understanding of the ancient history. And we are very dedicated to the Andean history. So it's not a question of just a story that we learn from someone. No, it's much more, much deeper. It's something that we experimented ourselves, and we open ourselves to other really dimension of Pachamama and our ancestors. And I'm happy to share that with you.
Yeah, well, we're very grateful to be with you, to learn from you and to share it with you as well. There are a lot of very advanced people on this in this group, so we expect to do, well, I take out the word expect, we anticipate a very powerful journey for all. Here's a question for you, Malku. There's much discussion now that the Kundalini of the Earth has shifted out of Tibet and has shifted to the Andes, particularly Peru and Chile. And in fact, I have seen my last time here in Peru, very many Tibetan lamas and monks moving about. Do you have anything to share with us about that?
That's a question of just $1,000, which means that that's a very easy question. And what happened is that when you propose, or I don't mean you, okay, but the source from where that's coming, this kind of understanding, this kind of conception, most of the people, or the ones who propose that, most of the time were not people educated in the ancient histories. For example, what will happen if you, your beautiful group, and myself, we will go to Tibet? We will go to the India or to the Tibetan area, to the Himalaya, and we will say to the people, to the lamas, to the Tibetans, we will say, listen, we're coming from the Andes, and since now you will be using coca leaves, since now you will be invoking Pachamama, you will forget Om or Wawatska, all kind, the Om Burbubazaha. Right now you will change to Pachamama because we say so. Because you have lack of the energy of Pachamama that you never experimented and didn't exist. Since now, we decided that the energy will move to Tibet. Can you imagine what the lamas, what the monks, what the masters from Tibet, they will say to us? They will say, Malku, Patricia, what's wrong with you? Here we have a culture and maybe a wisdom and practice for millennia. What's wrong with you? This is the same appreciation that we will say to all these people, that they will announce that something moved to the Andes. You know, here in the Andes, nothing, the energy was always present. You are coming here,
yes,
and you will be impressed by what our ancestors, the Incas, did. And our ancestors, the Incas, did. And that's not just yesterday. That's 500, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 years ago. which means that the energy was always here. What happened is that the planet needs to balance these energies. And because the North Hemisphere manifests male energy, which is lack of the feminine, there is some people that they claim that they have to have the feminine. So the South Hemisphere is the feminine energy. And it's been always like that. Now, if you point in the history and if you go to the different nations, to the different aspects of resonation with their own energies, for example, you will see that the North Hemisphere between China to Canada and in between is a very male energy. But if you come to the South Hemisphere between Australia, Africa, South America, everything is community energy, is the female energy. And this female energy is being always here. It's nothing new. It's not something that just somebody had a dream and said, oh, since now the energy will move to the Andes because I dream it like that. It's not that. You know, the energy was always present. So for us, Andean people, it was always Pachamama. It was always this energy. And of course, the energy of the cosmos as well. Then we have to be very conscious in the way how we introduce that.
But what do you say about how many Tibetan monks are shifting over here? Have you noticed that there is there a new community for the Tibetan monks that are leaving that region and coming here that you know about? Surely you've noticed that there is a vast amount of Tibetan monks coming into this region. And I was just curious about
that. Not really. Probably the time that you came, that was a conglomeration of events where some Tibetans were here and gave to you that impression, but not at all. No, sometimes they come as they go to other parts of the world. I think that there are more Tibetans in New York or in L.A. than here in the entire Peru.
There is the same altitude for starters, and this very special magic of the earth speaking to you. In these days that I've been here, one of the impressions that I have the most, and it is always like this when I come here, is the colors of the earth, the colors of the sky. And some of my group are already here with me, and we discussed this, how so many places in the West, the sky, everything is gray, the cement, the sky is gray, the colors are fading out. And here we are with these luscious green trees and up against the blue sky and white clouds. And no question that we're in a paradise environment for the soul. So they would be wise to come here, and why not transfer here rather than getting stuck in the cities? But of course, we know they need to work and they need to teach.
Well, the Andes is beautiful, the Andes has been always attracting people. But this is not new, and it's not because somebody decided to change something like that, a polarity, something like that. The planet has its own polarity. The planet has his own polarity. So here in the Andes is Pachamama energy. There is nothing else, and it's been always like that, at least for the last few thousand years. And what's happening is that when people come to the Andes, they feel that something resonates, other emotions are manifest, their heart just shake in a different way. So people, they really feel the energy of Pachamama. And that's welcome as well for Tibetans, if you want, or for any other nation. But I would not say that the energies necessarily are going somewhere because somebody said so. Then, Andean perspective, I have to be cautious with that.
Clearly, you don't resonate with the book that we don't need to mention that speaks of that Kundalini shift on the planet. But how do you feel about the growing discussion and obviously concern about the pole shift on the planet in general?
You know where started that story? Do you know the records of that? Who was the first person in public who proposed that? Do you have idea who was this person?
I think it was John Melchizedek.
Okay, let's go to the point. The first person who announced that the energy from Tibet moved to the Andes, his name was Serge Reynaud de la Ferrière. In 1947, in one of his books, he wrote that the energy from Tibet moved to the Andes. He was the first person. And why that happened? When he was visiting some of the Latin countries, not Peru, but some of the Latin countries, this person was not educated in relation to the Andes. And because he was a French gentleman, and he was experimenting things in the yoga practice in India, Tibet, and something came to him, and he announced that the energy from Tibet will move to the Andes, and that happened in 1947. Drumvalo Melchizedek, he copied from him probably, but he never advised who was the beginner of that. He just copied and transmitted that to the international community. But the first opinion about that was from the gentleman from France, Sir Reynaud de la Ferrière, who was already a wrong opinion, because he was never in relation to the Andes in the master way. He was like a tourist. And a tourist cannot give an opinion about mastery, saying like that. And later on, somebody decided to take it and to make it that a kind of a famous point. And that was probably this other gentleman, the last one that you mentioned. Then we have to go to the histories of each region. And here in Peru, which is the country of in the Andes, about the Pachamama energy and an amazing history, is nothing like that. But internationally, people, they can do their own points. So be careful if you are related to the Andes, be careful how you enter into the Andes. Internationally, people, they can say anything, but this is not accurate in relation to their own histories of each nation. So I prefer to use also the history. I prefer to have the elements. And since I am an Andean person, I understand that Pachamama was always here. So it was not a single day that somebody could say, or the Andean masters, they would say, oh, we lost the energy of Pachamama. It's nothing. It's not energy at all. So let's wait for the gentleman, the last one that you mentioned, to come to announce that the energy will move to the Andes. You know? This looks as a game for us. But anyway, people, they are free to try to create their own ways to understand the planet. The planet itself has north hemisphere male energy, south hemisphere female energy. This is the way of the planet. And will be like that for how many more thousand years, we don't know. Of course, that the poles shift sometimes, that's a historic event. Of course, that we know. But talking about the energies itself, the south continues to be female.
Well, thank you for clarifying that for us. It's very nice to hear that from someone who is obviously very aware of the environment and wise and educated to the information of this area. So, all right, let's move on from there. I would like to now ask you about, more specifically, about what we have in store for our journey.
Well, there is a lot
question.
Of things.
It's a long journey.
Sorry, say again.
I say, I know that's a big question because it's a long journey, but we are, what do you consider, what is the objective here to give these people as an experience? These are, when you call it the path of mastery, what exactly do you mean?
What happened in certain journeys that we experiment here with people from India, from the East, we thought that people, what our visitors from India, they shared with us, okay? They said that even if there is a lot of religiosity in India, their experience here in the Andes was to return to Pachamama essential sentiment and connection. That was very interesting when these people, they were sharing with us something that we know that is in that way, but coming from people from India, that was very unique. Then I am sure that here people, they will manifest much deeper connections with Pachamama. And the path of mastery it's just that vision of the combination and the experimentation of our two brains, the size of our brain, okay, left and right, and also to develop the awareness into the essential of the cosmos, which is science. The Andean ancestors, they were very special people to activate every aspect of their lives, and they were people using what their brain could produce and arranging easily their life and everything that they needed. And if they didn't have, they produced it, they created. And how that was possible? Using their brain fully. So they were using ceremonies, they were using meditation, they were using a good style of life, they were using their physical bodies. So with your students or with your different participants, that would be a nice sharing where the power places will activate the power places in themselves, which is going to be very special. Then we will facilitate to the people this unique experience and certain challenges, of course, because you have to use your physical temple, your bodies here. And if you are not prepared necessarily into the physics, little by little, your body will adjust to the vibration of this land to, in a smooth way, to enjoy and to transform this experience into something higher. So we are ready for all this experience with your group.
Yeah, it definitely is always the case that when the more the challenges are, as we discussed earlier, it always seems like the greater the initiation is. And as you say, the physical body is the first challenge, because clearly this is not an easy journey for anyone with the altitude and a lot of climbing. And as I'm saying it, I'm laughing because it's so overweighed by the splendor and the breathtaking beauty that we're about to encounter. But it is definitely a challenging journey. And I think journeys of initiation should be that, don't you?
Oh, sometimes, yes. Well, the shamanic experience sometimes is like that. But you have to reconsider also other aspects. The other aspect is that in shamanism, if that's true, it's part of the training to have confrontations. There is a moment that confrontations disappear because you understand that joy, that pleasure need to be part of the guidance. And so what happens is that people, they abandon sometimes themselves. They abandon their physical temple, the only physical tool that the cosmos gave to us to do our journey in this planet. Then in shamanism, there is a moment that you enjoy, really. You say, wow, that was my challenge, but right now everything comes smooth, and I am ready to go deeper and higher. And that's going to be the motivation for the journey. I am sure that some people, they will have the challenge, but after a few moments, they say, wow, the price is much higher than this little challenge. And then that's the invitation for everybody to enter into that energy.
Yes, I agree. I certainly have had those moments in my perpetual pursuit of spirit. And each time when you sometimes struggle with your body and your feeling of limitation, and then you challenge yourself and you reach that pinnacle, the exaltation of that experience, of pushing yourself to have that experience, is the experience.
Yes. Yeah, experience will motivate other things in your life. You have to experiment. There are different ways of experimentation. You have different channels open that you will experiment in different labs. But you, also when your physical temple follows, you realize really, wow, that's the other dimension, that I prefer to use my existence fully and not just part of it. So shamanism is this, activation of the physical body, your mental action, your spirit, and all together need to be active. Then that's only possible if you provoke yourself and if you use your tools. The invitation here is do not abandon yourself. And this journey will be a provocation, absolutely. because if you want to go to Machu Picchu, Machu Picchu is not that. It's not sea level. Of course, Cusco is higher. Lake Titicaca is higher than Machu Picchu. But anyway, that can be a physical challenge for certain people until the moment that the challenge or the provocation will be modified into satisfaction, into pleasure. Yeah. And this is the energy that we want to preserve.
For sure. All right, let's switch tracks here. One thing that my audience is definitely tuned in on is the extraterrestrial I don't even like this word extraterrestrial, but definitely contact from consciousness on other dimensions and even beings from other realms. And we know that Peru is an epicentral place for activity of this kind. And I wonder if you can share with us, have you had many experiences where you've been with people up in the mountains and had sightings or, I dare say, even visitations?
Personally, I had experiences. And that's true that Peru is not just the magic of the land, but also opens other channels to people. And there are people that if they do not experiment a physical contact, something like that, they do experiment in other levels. And personally, I had so many journeys and experiences with all this cosmic reality that for me, I don't need to prove anything to anybody. So I do not hesitate saying that, do they exist or not? That's not the question for me. And of course, doesn't need to be the question for the planet, because it's a little so naive thinking that it's only our planet, the only planet with a kind of intelligence in the universe. Of course not. Then we do accept deeply the existence of other type of lives in the cosmos. Absolutely, this is part of our journey.
Well, I would think that if we were the only planet with intelligent life, that wouldn't say much for the creative plan, because we still have a lot of evolving to do to reach the ultimate maximum of the capacity of creation. So, yeah, I have no question in anticipating encounter with beings from other worlds, multidimensional beings, needless to say. This is already happening for so many people. But it is very exciting that in our lifetime, most likely, I believe, we are going to have full contact as the ancients did. And disclosure is happening more and more. Subtly, we talk about extraterrestrials as if that's not a reality, and yet we have four craft up on Mars, a human present on Mars. We're the extraterrestrials. There's kind of an irony about that, if you think about it. Malku, what is your understanding of the city supposedly within the lake at Lake Titicaca, the ancient world? Is this a multidimensional city? Or what is your understanding of this, and what have you experienced?
Well, in the Andes, we have a life on the Earth, but we also have a life inside of the Earth. There are many tunnels, there are different accesses. Of course, that many of these accesses were destroyed, and in the time, those were lost. But there is an existence inside. And then with this came the other stories about Lake Titicaca. Basically, the stories of Lake Titicaca were created later about, the cities under the water and all that. It's true that we have kind of walls in certain parts of the lake. This is because the lake is being suffering different changing in the level of water and all that. Of course, that before the humanity that we know, existed other people as well, other nations, other type of societies. We are not the only ones. We are the last one in this moment. Then other creators, other societies did their own constructions, and some could be still visible, but many just disappeared. But the stories of the city on the lake, those were created later, on the 60s. On the 60s, people started to propose about the cities that were hided on the water or somewhere else. Then these kind of stories became popular. And right now you go to the lake, and of course, kind of people, they can do exercising in order to connect with the inner cities on the lake. This is an option. I don't want to stop that option, but personally, my existence and my experience is so clear that what counts more right now is the inner being, is how you realize your life. And then I am a very practical person. Shamanism is practice. Shamanism is the action. It's not just a belief. It's just the realization now. But of course, there are constructions that are still hidden. And little by little, the time will show more, and or individuals, they will connect in other levels. And Chitaka will be in front of us. We will be there, and we will experiment by ourselves.
But you do believe that there are portals into Agartha from this region?
That's also the story created in the 60s. Then, and from the 60s, many things were created in relation to Lake Titicaca. Of course, Lake Titicaca in the Andean Master Vision represents the female pool of the planet. Then there are, of course, important aspects on Lake Titicaca, high vibrations, important history, power places. There are all of that, yes. But if you want to use any portal, I am sure that you personally, you use many portals from your bed in Rome, and you connect not just on the Earth, but also with the cosmos. Then if you experiment and you know all that, then you will understand that many things can be stories. Because in other realities, you don't need a precise portal, because you can use yourself as the portal, or you can be in your own meditation, and that's a great portal. But people, they like, you know, to do stories. I can also join that this kind of stories, but shamanism is a little more practical thing. But I know things like that. But I prefer to use the portals in our bodies to achieve our goal in this planet.
So when you talk about the practicality of shamanism, give us an example of what you mean when you guide people in a shamanic experience.
There are what stops growing in human being. It's fears. People, they are scared of many things. And fears because lack of experience, or because too much experimenting things that are not needed in this life experience. And then people, they create their own borders. The first step in shamanism is to go beyond borders and to stop fears, or just to understand that fears, if that exists, is part of the journey, but doesn't need to block ourselves. And you have fears all kinds. And one of the fears for many people, I don't mean you personally, okay? I mean just in general. So people, they can block out themselves into all that. So shamanism provokes not just the conception, not just the understanding, but also in the practice. And I am sure that since the first day here in the Andes, many people, they will start experimenting that. And that will come more and more. That will be a progression in their journey. So let's work and let's change first into mastery, into vision. That will allow us to do easy steps in our lives. And when you confront first, and those become just part of the journey, as your education, you will realize that Pachamama will start providing many more things in a very smooth way. So confrontations will be less and less each time. And you will be embodying just joy, and wisdom will be part of your realization. Then this is why these type of journeys are created, as a need to provoke in people a big change in their life, an initiatory experience.
Yeah, definitely. That's why we're here. But you say shamanism is a practical experience. And for those people who don't have the joy of being here with us on this journey, what do you really mean? What kind of practical experience do you put people through, for example?
The power places that we are visiting will allow us to do certain ceremonies and meditations. And it's very sure that the unknown will provoke in people certain reactions. And the first challenge here will be the altitude, will be the lack of oxygen. So far that people, they will confront themselves saying, oh, wow, I am feeling this. My head, my stomach, my breath is not as I know. So that will be the first lesson. How responsible we are with our bodies, with our physical body. How much time we offer in our lives or how we abandon our bodies. Then this will be a very interesting step that I am sure in the next half an hour or the next hour, as I will remit just to salute people, I will notice that and we will give to people a little moment for them to connect and to provoke a changing, and for tomorrow be ready. Be ready for what's coming. Then the power places with the energy that exists in those places will motivate changes in people. And because we experimented so much, we know how those places work. And then the best example is to be there. My books can transmit some stories, some explanations, but the best is just to be in the power places. This is why we recommend to people, because some people probably they do not resonate with us, but as we arrive, for example, to Machu Picchu, do not abandon the unique opportunity and take advantage of the energy of the city. Even if you don't like, say like that, some of our experimentation, and you don't want to take that as part of your journey, do not, absolutely not, abandon the unique opportunity to be in Machu Picchu, for example, or in the Sacred Valley, or in Lake Titicaca. Take advantage of those places, and that will offer a big change in your life. Then it will come step by step. I noticed that there are many fears in the planet. Many people support that. Then let's work in that. Sure, tomorrow we will start doing this with your group.
Yeah, I can't wait. When we talked to you, I travel all over the world as you do, bringing people to sacred sites. And unquestionably, there is a complicity to stop sacred experience in these places. We know about how tough it is in Egypt. Mexico is closing down the sites too. And you said it's now also forbidden by the government or the power that wants to stop the sacred work we're doing. And I'd like to know, how do you get around that? I know that your feeling is it's not a problem. We're going to do it because we're guided. But what specific approach do you have to dealing with these kinds of obstructions?
It's a challenge still in certain places, but as we do with a lot of respect, most of time in the last years, the guardians, the administration didn't bother us. I know that they can still complain about certain practices of different people and even bother others. But I don't have that since years ago because I am somehow a public person. And with my books, many tour guides, they use my information, my studies, my research, my discoveries, and other professionals as well. Then you have to go with respect, and you have to be correctly in the power places without bothering others. So if you respect your place and also the others, you are still allowed to connect. And we have experience in Atha to connect in the power places and to do our ceremonies, our meditations, our offerings. But it's not anymore as we did 10, 15, 20 years, 25 years ago. It's not anymore like that. Because 25 years ago, or 15, even 10 years ago, we could be doing in the Sacred Plaza in Machu Picchu drumming and even many other power instruments. But right now, that's not possible. But we're doing other ways, in other levels. There are many ways to connect. And we have enough experience to share that with the people.
Wonderful. You've mentioned your books. Let's talk about them. You gifted me with this beautiful book, Solar Initiations. And can you give us a little bit of information about your books and your work outside of Peru? I know that you go to the States and you also conduct sacred journeys elsewhere, but let's start by talking about your books. You've got two books out, right?
We have 5 books.
Oh, pardon.
And we have 5 books published. And what happened is that many years ago, people, they wanted to know more. And the closest people to us, they were always asking about joining us in events, traveling with us. And then came the idea to publish, because that would be the way, the easy way to transmit certain wisdom to people without necessarily being physically. And like that, the first book, my first book, Born It, in 1997. And the name of that book was The Awakening of the Puma. And that book is technically the revelation about the ancient technologies, the astronomy, the archaeastronomy, how it was working, how our ancestors were creating the power places, measuring the ley lines, how all that was working. So The Awakening of the Puma book, it's probably one of the nicest introductions to the ancient technologies in the Andes. And many people, they had that book as inspiration and also to co-create all their visions about the Andes. And right now we have a big wisdom about and we discover many things. We need still more time and paper to write more about other aspects that we didn't write yet. Then we have enough experience. And I am sure in the next years we will publish more books, because the ancient wisdom is big.
Yes, indeed. And there aren't really that many people who are so wise into the Andean tradition. We have a lot of information about the Mayan information, but there seems to be a lack of information about this tradition.
Yes, what happened is that the Maya people, they are near the United States in the North Hemisphere, and the North always had a different experience and also using different technologies so far that the people from the United States, they had an easy access to Mexico and to explore or to create their own stories about the Maya people. But because Peru is far away, we didn't have all this kind of intromission and distortion, even distortion, because there are many stories as in many places. And because here is far away, many things were preserved. And right now we are discovering, rediscovering, and contributing to the ancient wisdom. I'm sure many more books will come, and we will continue teaching in different places about the ancient technologies. Another interesting aspect is that Cusco in the ancient time was a very cosmopolitan city. Cusco in the ancient time was receiving all the nations from the Andes and taking the specialists in order to teach and other people in order to learn from Cusco, from our ancestors. I want to say with this that Cusco in the ancient time was not at all a traditional city. There was a cosmopolitan city, which means that a human being goes beyond limitations. When you start creating traditions, you start blocking the same thing, because tradition, in technically saying, tradition is a prison. So the Andean people, they were beyond tradition. I mean, the masters and Cusco and all that. Then you have to go a little farther of the conventional history. Sure that you will take the evidence that they still exist here as the main lesson to understand and to change different conceptions that probably exist that I understand who provoked that are the historians. But now we have to co-create a new history. And our studies are very interesting that will contribute to a bigger understanding of human history.
Oh, wonderful, Malcolm. Where can people find your books? Are they on Amazon?
No yet, that's a pity, but I have to work to have it in Amazon. Right now, my books are published in Poland, in Romania, in Brazil, and in Peru, then in Hungary as well. We have to work for Amazon in one of the moments, but my books are basically here in Peru, in Cusco. and are very well known and are between our local community, which is small, are important books. But we are also working in the digital aspect of our books for people just to get online.
This is great. As there are some very positive things about the digital world, even though I resist it so much. Melko, what is your website and how can people reach you for more information?
One of our sites is andis007.com. This is one of our sites. The other site is shamanvegan.com. The other site is pachamamajourneys.com.
Fantastic. Well, I want to also tell everyone that Malku honored me and Elisa, my artist, by allowing us to use his image in our new tarot deck, the Syrian Starseed Tarot. He is the master of flames in this powerful tool for transformation, which I know many of you are starting to work with. So thanks again, Malku, for that gift, because really having your energy in the deck adds to its specialness. Thank you for that.
That was a surprise for me, but thank you so much for this consideration. And I hope that the energy of your work can give to many people, you know, beautiful insights and teachings for changing their lives. Thank you for that, Patricia.
Thank you too, Malku. All right, everybody, we're about to round up here on another speedy interview that seemed 5 minutes and we're already at the end of the hour. So this is Patricia. I promised you I would keep you abreast of what I'm doing. And today I am in the Sacred Valley. I've had the pleasure of meeting Malku days ago, and the group is arriving now. I've been sitting here, as Malku said, adjusting, letting my body adjust, which it has done very well. And I'm ready to rock and roll. So as the days go on, I will do my best. Please follow my events and my descriptions of the amazing things that we are taking on through Facebook, where I'm present, and probably on my site as well, SyrianRevelations.net. Please, of course, always check out the articles that I think are relevant for the times that we are in and the good work that people are doing around the planet. And remember that even though you are not with us physically, we carry you with us. We carry your love and your light and your commitment to making this beautiful Pachamama. Help her rebirth, help her celebrate, help her pass through this great shift that we all know is taking place at this time. And if you want to, some good news, I'm pretty sure after I met Malku the first time that this is not going to be a one-stop journey. And I'm already thinking about returning next year because so many of you wanted to come. At the last minute, I was getting requests. It's like 4 days before the journey. And that is not possible because organizing things in Peru is not easy. So stay abreast of my website, Sacred Journeys page. And I'll be talking to Malku about us doing something again next year. And I know, you know I'm in the moment now, but I wanted to put that seed out for you all so you can think about that as you long. I know you're looking at my pictures and longing to be here, and you ain't seen nothing yet. Okay, everybody, this is Patricia Corey, loving you, embracing you, and from the mountaintops of the Andes, thanking you for tuning in. How about that technology? We've got Malku on a cell phone. We've got me on Skype. And we've got my wonderful producers, BBS Radio in California. Huh? I'll tell you. All right. Thank you again, Malku. Your energy is very compelling. And I really cannot wait until we begin our journey. And with that, I leave everyone. Many blessings. I'll be with you soon. My love around you. This is Patricia signing out from the most beautiful place in the Sacred Valley of Peru.